From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay of Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week, we're talking with Tamara Shalacombe from the Peoria Ballet. Their production of The Nutcracker is back this year with three performances tomorrow and Sunday at the Peoria Civic Center Theater. Tamara, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, it's kind of hard for me to imagine anyone who hasn't seen The Nutcracker in the past, but if you truly are absolutely new to the world of ballet, this is kind of a great place to start
because
it's got a fantastic holiday theme, and we all know the music, even if we don't think we do.
It's everywhere. It doesn't matter when you turn the television on, there is that classical music. It's so beautiful. And as for those people who are novices to this genre, it's a great way to get into it because it includes, as you said, the holiday story. It has little children. It has a little bit of action with a battle and between the Mouse King and the Nutcracker. It's fantasy. You get to see fairies, which all little girls love to see fairies. And snow. It has everything.
And share a little bit of the initial plot.
Well, okay. The initial plot is that we are at a Christmas party at the Stahlbaum home, and their children are Clara and Fritz, and they're inviting their whole family and friends to come and visit for the evening, and one of those is Uncle Drosselmeyer, and he's a little bit eccentric, I would say, and our Drosselmeyer is very fun. A lot of times he's very mysterious, but ours is a comedian. It's very cute, and so when Drosselmeyer comes, he brings gifts, and his gifts are life-size dolls that magically move all by themselves, and also a Nutcracker for his goddaughter Clara. And so she falls in love with it. She just loves this Nutcracker. And all of a sudden, her little brother decides that, hey, that's not fair. She got a better gift than I did. And he tries to grab the Nutcracker and it breaks. And magically, Drosselmeyer fixes it and she carries it off to, and in our version, it's a little chair. So she goes to fall asleep in the chair as everyone else is leaving the party. She's had a lot to do in that evening. And then is it a dream? It could be a dream. She falls asleep and dreams, we think, of Nutcracker going into battle. And it's battle against the Mouse King and all his lovely little mouse troops. And so that's a fun scene, especially for little boys because and men, of course, because that's the gusto of the show. And then after Clara actually defeats the Mouse King by hitting him on the head with her shoe, but in the meantime, he has wounded the Nutcracker and the Nutcracker falls to the ground. And Clara thinks that he is gone forever, and somehow magically he is resurrected and he becomes a handsome prince. And so what happens in the next act, after we leave the land of the snow where they travel, they go on to the land of the sweets, and they meet all sorts of interesting people in variations in the second act. So,
well, one of the things that I like about the Nutcracker is that it's so episodic. So you have the party sequence and you have the battle, and then you have the character dances, the Arabian dance and the Spanish and the coffee. And because it's so episodic, that seems to give different companies a chance to play around and do something new and different with the piece instead of always presenting the same production.
Exactly. I mean, I have seen, for instance, we call it Marzipan, which is the Dance of the Reed Pipes song that you hear, and we actually use the reed pipes in our version, but I've seen that done as candy canes, or they called them sugar sticks. In previous years, we've had it where it was shepherds and shepherdesses, and they danced with little lambs, which was very cute too. So it's really up to the director's vision and what they foresee in that. A lot of times Russian is tumbled. Ours is tumbled this year. It's very exciting. And sometimes it's dance. So it just depends on that artistic vision. And Chinese can be, I've seen Chinese come out of a teapot, come out of a box, come out, and out of a dragon. So it's great. It's up to anyone's interpretation.
It's definitely true that we're hearing all kinds of Nutcracker music on the airwaves. Mm-hmm. I subscribe to a service called Pandora and heard it all this past week.
Right.
But as I'm listening, I'm thinking, what perfect music for ballet. How is that such a perfect complement to each other?
I think just Tchaikovsky is just, he was the master of writing ballet pieces. I really think so. I've even looked at the score before and went, wow. It goes from 6-8 all of a sudden to a 4-4, and you go, oh, well, he did that so seamlessly. It's really amazing. But it's all very danceable. There's not a part, like sometimes Prokofiev is so heavy and you wonder, okay, what am I going to do with that? But Tchaikovsky is just very danceable, very danceable.
Now, not being a dancer, one of the things that I always find amazing about ballet productions is how much work goes into them, because you have this enormous cast and you spend months putting this production together every year. I think, don't you usually start rehearsals in August or September for this?
We actually didn't start until October this year.
Okay.
So we put it together in 6 weeks. We had a prior performance this year, which we haven't had in the past. So we were working on that. And surprisingly, it's really come together very well. The key to it all is really, as being a ballet dancer, you have to be on top of your game. So you have to attend class every day. And if you've got the technique, the choreography will come pretty simply. So it's really a being in shape.
I think a real key to your particular ballet's success is the turnout from year to year of the local celebrities. Who do you recruit and how do you recruit them?
Wow. Gosh, we have this year we have a lot of lawyers. We have some of our board members, so that helps too. We don't have as many celebrities as we did, say, 2 years ago. We ask, we had the different mayors of the town,
yes.
And Mr. Schock. We had Representative Schock, and we haven't gotten quite that big this year, but it is very fun. And a lot of it's who you know, what board members know or who we know just from. So it's kind of fun to put that out there and go, oh, hey, I know this person. Let's get them involved.
And that's the fun of it, of that you're keeping it local.
Exactly.
Although I understand you have some international guests this year.
We do, and don't ask me to pronounce their name.
I read about it on the Peoria Journal Star, and I don't know how to pronounce them. Is that from Servais?
Yeah, that's okay. From Servais. Those are Servais. He's found those this year, and they are the two guest dancers. The Sugar Plum and Cavalier are from Cuba originally. They now live in the Florida area, Naples area. And then Ronnie has been with us now for a couple weeks. He came down from Chicago, and he's actually Brazilian, but he is studying with a company up in the Chicago area, and we invited him to come down, and he's just the sweetest boy, and I say boy because he's literally 20 something, but and can jump 6 feet into the air, so he's amazing.
And talk a little bit about what it takes backstage to get this production going, because I imagine you've got an army of costumers and you probably have to have wranglers for the, you know, the smaller children.
Yeah.
And sound technicians. I mean, what's going on that we can't see when we're watching the
okay.
show?
Okay, well, for instance, as you said, kid wranglers. We have chaperones, and there are tables set up for each different group of kids, and there's got to be at least two parents. They're all volunteers, so nobody gets paid to do that, and they do a great job of wrangling them in, keeping them entertained. They have coloring and games and things for them to do while they're sitting up there waiting for their turn. Backstage, we have, again, volunteers who have helped build sets in the past or now know exactly where they go, so they shove them out onto the stage when it's time. Our stage manager is playing Mother Ginger, so he's doing double duty. And then there are hired stagehands, of course. You have to have them at the Civic Center. And they've done the show now for several years, so they're pretty much attuned to what goes on with it, too. So.
And we'd be remiss not to mention that you're performing with the Heartland Festival Orchestra.
Oh.
What's it like to perform and dance to live music?
You know, there's just something that the energy level just goes up about, I would say, 90% from that energy that you have when it's just a performance with a recording to that time that you have live music. It is just amazing. It's the energy and the orchestra down there, and you can see David conducting. It's just wonderful. Tons of energy that way. Sometimes it's a little bit nerve-wracking because they might play just a little bit different than they know, but that's very good for our dancers to have to listen, because sometimes they don't want to listen. So they have to be listening to the utmost note.
And also this year you've added a second matinee performance. So you have a Saturday matinee, Saturday evening, and a Sunday. Is interest in the event growing so you're able to add additional performances?
We thought that would be we just said, let's try it. We haven't done that. Let's see what happens if we give them another option. And so far, it's been very profitable. It's going to be a good thing, I think, that we'll keep through the years, because surprisingly, our sales have gone way up. I think that having the two matinees makes it easier for those people who have children and they couldn't come on Sunday, now that they can come on Saturday. So.
We've been talking with Tamara Chalicombe from the Peoria Ballet. Their annual performances of The Nutcracker are tomorrow at 2 and 7:30 and Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Peoria Civic Center. Tamara, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And Nathan, the Central Illinois Youth Symphony presents their holiday concert tomorrow night at Metamora High School. And as we know, the Central Illinois Youth Symphony features some of the most talented and promising young musicians from all over the Peoria area. They and their guests will be performing favorite holiday classics, so plan to attend.
And finally, Suzette, Trinity Lutheran Church is presenting a service of 9 lessons and carols. It's choral and instrumental music for the Christmas season. It starts with instrumental and organ preludes Wednesday night at 6:30. The service itself gets underway at 7 o'clock.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Stephanie Soapy. If you'd like to learn more about Peoria Public Radio, visit us on the web at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin. This is Out and About.